To the WAN Show, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a fantastic show for you guys today. Lots of good topics. I'll find them. They're here somewhere. Ah, there's a good one. Now, China is limiting minors to 1 hour of video games per day and only on Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays from 8 to 9 p.m. Now, we're going to have to figure out sort of if there's a little more to this, but wow, that is aggro. In other aggro news, Reddit has banned COVID denial subreddit, citing Rule 1 as justification. What is Rule 1? We'll be talking about that as well.
Quantum computing just got weirder. New AMD quantum computing patent quotes literally teleportation. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. Also, a day off on Twitch. Every single streamer.
That's not today, is it?
I actually don't know.
We're not in violation of day off Twitch, are we?
Took place on September 1st. We're good.
Okay. So now Twitch is okay because that day is over. Like,
yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
Rolling the intro. Obviously, we're going to have to jump right into our headline topic for the day, the gaming ban for minors in China. Now, obviously, it's a little bit more complicated, but it's also not entirely unexpected. This new law supersedes 2019 rules that allowed 90 minutes per day and forbade playing between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m., with the justification back then being that, well, kids shouldn't be playing too many video games, and they shouldn't be up late such that it will affect their schooling, which is, I mean, fair enough. But whether that is the role of the state or the role of the parent is something that I think a lot of people would disagree about. The 2019 measures also limited minors' monthly spending on games to a maximum of $57, which appears to be unchanged. This new policy also enforces a policy requiring game companies to require players' real names when logging in. I mean, imagine giving up your minor data protection laws in order to make sure that those minors who companies are now by law collecting information from are not playing too many video games. That's an interesting double-edged sword right there. The press release on state media said it is indisputable that indulging in online games affects normal study life and teens' physical and mental health.
I could see that.
Young Chinese gamers are lashing out at the new rules. One objection: sexual consent at 14. At 16, you can go out to work, but you have to be 18 to play games. This is really a joke.
Pretty good observation as well.
I don't think I could have put it any better myself. Now, to be clear, there's nothing that the Chinese government can do to prevent a minor from playing a single-player game completely disconnected from the internet. If there was, I'm sure they would be trying to figure out how to do that. In fact, my understanding is that functionality like that could end up being baked into game platforms like the Chinese version of Steam, so that if you are playing a single player, like offline game, it could theoretically be enforced. But my understanding is there's no actual enforcement or attempt to enforce any kind of rule like that. This is mostly focused on online gaming. So let's talk, Luke. How would this have affected your childhood? Why don't we start with that?
Pretty majorly, but probably not as much as you would think. We were an extremely sports-heavy household. I played a lot of sports. Many days of the week, I was out at practice or game day. I'm remembering now, I raided in WoW. So that was two nights a week, and essentially every single other night, playing sports. So I wouldn't have been able to do that.
But see,
because that would generally take 3 hours.
But the problem here is that am I misinterpreting this? Is there only a 1 hour window in which you
For
can play video
everyone.
games?
Yeah. Everyone is tied within that 1 hour window. That's one of the most interesting things to me personally about this whole thing. Is the one specific 1 hour window between 8 and 9 p.m., which is like kind of sort of neat in a way because I feel like, you know, all your friends are going to be online.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Like, because I mean, the thing about having something like a weekly limit is that if you were, you know, you had a sports ball practice on Tuesday night or you had a family dinner on Wednesday night, and you know, Thursday night you had some homework to catch up on Friday night, you could be like, woo, I'm staying up late. I'm going to play video games all night. Woo, I'm going to play some Pokemon Blue. That's not possible. You can't really ration if you don't have a ton of flexibility in terms of how you take advantage of that limited amount of time that you're allowed to spend gaming. What I want to know is, actually, this is great. Floatplane Chat's already talking about it. Pirate LV says, rip their power grid. All those PCs starting up at once, gotta spin them hard drives. 1.2 billion hard drives spinning up at the same time.
It's a lot. It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, and like it mentions, this is only online play. So this really isn't going to restrict everything. There is a lot of single player games. I do wonder, and they might only do it for China, but I wonder if this might reduce the amount of single player games that require online handshakes constantly. You know, the amount, there's a huge amount of always online single player games. And again, maybe this just changes for China. Maybe this doesn't change at all. But I wouldn't be surprised if certain companies started kind of going like, oh, wait a second. We might get more sales if we don't make this single player game always online.
But then again, I don't want to generalize, but China has been sort of a hotbed for piracy. So if anything, I think a lot of these always online requirements are actually specifically targeting the Chinese market. So really remove these
limits? Everything gets pirated anyways.
And that's fair enough. But I mean, you know, only China could literally pirate a subsidiary of ARM. You know, like that's...
Yeah.
That is next level. I mean, that might be impressive. The heist of the century at this point. Did you hear about this? I don't even think this is in the doc this week. Is the ARM... the ARM heist in the dock? Let me have a look here. So this is a totally unrelated news topic, but ARM China has basically gone rogue. I forget the exact order of events, but essentially the executive that was in charge, because the thing is, in order to operate in China, you have to have some percentage of Chinese ownership. And so that the executive that I believe has some kind of controlling stake in it pretty much said, see you later, parent company. We are now going to just start doing our own IP licenses and we're going to diverge our product development roadmap. And we are now a different company. Bye-bye. And it's hard to tell if that was precipitated by the rumors of an NVIDIA acquisition or if this was something that was just kind of a foregone conclusion and the wheels just started spinning faster when that started coming up. But yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about, right? Because certainly there have been Chinese firms like Huawei, for example, that have earned a reputation for corporate espionage. You know, some of the stories really do sound like fiction, you know, planting engineers and, you know, secretly transporting materials out of offices and transmitting them somewhere else and like all this kind of crazy stuff, right? And, you know, ARM China basically said, well, I don't know, all of that, right? We're just gonna, we have all the IP just by being this company. Why don't we just continue to be this company, but we'll be our own version of this company? Bye. And as far as I can tell, I haven't actually looked into it in the last little while, so don't quote me on this, but as far as I can tell, I don't think the Chinese government plans to really do anything about it. So that raises a lot of questions about how you're going to. Dark Force says, I thought the Arm China saga started way before the NVIDIA Arm attempted merger. Yeah, I think you're right. I just remember it kind of either it got kicked into high gear, or maybe it was that all of a sudden it was more newsworthy because it cast that shadow of uncertainty over the acquisition. I think you're probably right. Catwalk Cluster says China doesn't create tech, they steal it. That's the thing, though. That's not actually true. I mean, especially now, the number of like high-level engineering graduates and science graduates coming out of Chinese universities compared to Western ones is mind-boggling. These are enormous educational institutions, and they are finding ways to pump out highly, highly educated scientists in a way that pretty much no one else is right now, as far as I can
There's
tell.
also the whole thing where like it's like North American and European kids. It's like what are their what are the things that they most want to be when they grow up? And right now, if I remember correctly, it's genuinely like YouTuber and Twitch streamer for North American European.
Sorry, I have
And
corrupted the
yeah,
youth.
it's completely your fault. No one else's. You have all the blame
I'm
solely
sorry, I'm
for
just so cool.
it.
I can't help if people want to be like me.
Oof,
That weren't it.
And then in China, it's scientist and astronaut, I think,
Right. Yep.
or something. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it is. Scientist is one of them. I don't remember the other one. It might be scientist and engineer. I'm not sure. Or
Don't so
scientist and doctor. I'm pretty sure it's scientist and doctor.
so don't kid yourself. China's inventing lots, but there are areas where whether it's due to intellectual property protection or whether it's due to just the fact that it's been being worked on elsewhere for so much longer, there are areas where China is behind, and central processing is one of them. But obviously, that that took a giant leap, a great leap forward, I think is probably the correct term for that, with the acquisition of Arm's intellectual property. And I have no idea how the documents and processes that Arm uses and references in the creation of their technology, I have no idea how that is sequestered from one regional office to another. I would kind of think in order to create a next generation Arm instruction like ISA instruction set architecture, like whatever else, I would imagine that it kind of everyone would need access to everything. But I don't know. Maybe it's more isolated than that. Maybe they have to kind of put the pieces together. I have no idea. I mean, it wouldn't even surprise me to read an article about, a literal SWAT team storming the Arm headquarters at this point. Like,
Yeah.
okay. Right. So
It's pretty crazy.
back to kids in China not being allowed to play video games.
Yes.
There's two major questions here, right? Like, one is, do video games actually, harm you to such a degree that you should be limited to an hour a day? Like, are these harmful?
The statement that they made is indulging in online games affects normal study life and teens' physical and mental health. Your study life and your physical health, like, yeah, unquestionably. I also think the impact of online games on someone's mental health is actually probably a very interesting thing to look into. And I think in a lot of cases, it's probably negative. If you're notably surrounding yourself specifically with friends, that's kind of its own thing, and that's interesting. But I think a lot of times you just end up in COD lobbies where everyone's just screaming into the mic as many profanities and offensive things as they possibly can. And I don't know how helpful that necessarily is. So that specific statement, like they're probably on base with it. That being said, I don't know. It gets interesting because it's a different country and it's pretty much as different as you could possibly imagine.
I mean,
So like,
is it possible that we just are completely out of touch Westerners and have no idea that actually this gaming addiction among Chinese youth is an epidemic that is destroying an entire generation of people. Like,
I don't know. It's different, right? It's very different over there. I have no idea. I can't claim to say things with fact about a place that I know very little about.
This is a great comment from Thelonious Mac that says this is not just about gaming. China's concerned about games being used as a means for subversive communications. It's hard to monitor the messages between every dwarf in a WoW server, for example. But the thing about that is that. Okay, actually, that's kind of a good point. I was gonna say, having an hour when everyone's online is basically, if anything, increasing the amount of potential noise that you might have to sift through in order to find these.
It's not to be sifted through live
communications, right? Because like literally everyone is going to be online at exactly the same time. The odds of coming across something useful seems to me might be lower. But then again, if you are limiting their ability to communicate to just, 1 hour a day, maybe that's just sort of deemed useful. But then the thing is, I mean, these are kids, right? These are probably not revolutionaries that are... gonna storm the Capitol. Is this really who we're concerned about? Like, help me out here.
Well, I don't know. It's very different there, right? Like, I don't know. I don't think I can pose any real understanding of this because I don't understand. I lack so much knowledge on Chinese culture and their situations. Like something that was brought up last time we talked about one of these topics was mentioned that like, oh, the government shouldn't be like taking care of the kids. The parents should be taking care of the kids. And someone brought up, well, okay, it's very common for work hours to be longer there.
Yeah.
The parents might not be home. So like the government is trying to step in to help with that because a lot of them are not home and can't afford a nanny. So like it's kids just alone at home by themselves. So they're trying to exert some amount of control there. That's an unfortunate thing that's becoming a little bit more common here, but is not really a standard in North America, I would say. So it's something that is foreign to me. And that's not something I would have necessarily expected. But if the kids are just running around at home alone, trying to force them to do something else other than just play games, might make sense. I don't know. It's a situation I've never had to deal with. So I don't know. It's very, very different.
I mean,
one hour all at the same time seems a little odd, but.
Tim SP says, I think every generation has their vices that they, attempt to protect children from. When I went to university, my dad kept warning me about card players who flunked out when he went to school. They spent all their time like playing cards instead of studying.
People want to do stuff that isn't studying, and there will always be something. You can, what is that? You can push the circle down the road with a stick. You can push the ring down the road with a stick, whatever that old game was.
Yeah.
People will find a way to distract themselves.
Play some kick the can, some ring stick, some ball in a cup.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I hate it. I think it's out of touch. I think that treating video games like there's some kind of like devil that should be basically. I mean, it's in a way this is more regulated than even legitimately dangerous substances are in many parts of the world. Like it's just baffling to me, but. I also never really had the very, very toxic gaming experiences that some people seem to experience, right? Like, I never was so addicted to gaming that it prevented me from functioning in my day-to-day life. And I know that right. is a thing that some people do experience. But here's what I want to know is, I mean, China is, whether you like it or not, whether you want to admit it or not, is an authoritarian regime, right? So... who's to say that this isn't just an experiment? Well, let's start with the kids because we can kind of, but think of the children in order to justify it. And if it's a success, then we roll this out throughout because from a government standpoint, why wouldn't I just prefer if everyone was being productive? You know what I mean? Like video games, I don't know if you could, I don't know if you can prove that it is indisputable that indulging in online games affects normal study life and physical and mental health, but you can certainly indisputably prove that it's not productive. It doesn't produce anything.
Well, there's, I don't know, there's some like, especially in the times of COVID, I would say it's a good way to get social energy out. Like if you and all your friends jump online, like that's a social activity.
But it's
There's
not
also different types of
productive. What does it produce?
happiness.
Nah, that's not a product.
You can still produce happiness. It's a drug in your brain.
Okay, I mean, I guess. Okay, we want to talk now. You're producing dopamine hits. I mean, by that logic, why don't we all just do hard drugs then?
No, I think
That's
it would be.
productive then, by
I don't
your
think it would.
definition.
Okay, so dopamine would come from the game itself, but I believe the social pleasure would be something else, not dopamine. I can't claim enough to know to name it off the top of my head, but serotonin, is that right? I don't know. Anyways, I think there's benefits that you could argue that could come from it, but I don't know. I think it's very easy to argue the otherwise.
John
The
Wick in the
other.
Float Plane chat says, yeah, let's just destroy this multi-billion-dollar gaming market. Honestly, right now, it seems like the CPC gives exactly zero f about the economic damage of their policies. I mean, you see the way they're cracking down on big tech over there. Honestly, some of the things they're doing are moves that I completely agree with. Not all of it, obviously,
They're
but.
specifically going after billionaires in China
Yep.
in a negative way. Like they are trying to crack down on billionaires in China. It's very different to here. That's another one of those things where like I'm just it's very different over there. So it's difficult.
Why don't we jump into our next topic here? Reddit has banned COVID denial subreddits, citing Rule One as justification. So why don't we start with this? Rule one. What is rule one?
Remember the human. Reddit is a place for creating community and belonging, not for attacking marginalized or vulnerable groups of people. Everyone has a right to use Reddit free of harassment, bullying, and threats of violence. Communities and users that incite violence or that promote hate based on identity or vulnerability will be banned. That is rule one.
Okay, so let's
How that applies.
go back a little bit here. Reddit banned r/no new normal specifically, and then quarantined 54 other subreddits for breaking rules and spreading COVID misinformation. So this comes after many other subreddits protested the amount of misinformation being spread on the platform, with a post on r/vax happened reaching 190,000 upvote. So let's go have a quick look at that. Reddit is taking a hot minute to load here, so that's really unusual. Hello, Reddit.
I
Yeah,
tried as well, but it's taking a long time for me to.
and taking a really long time. No action was taken right away. The ban slash quarantines came a few days later with no response from Reddit administrators in the interim. I'm still waiting for that page to load. So, Reddit admins made a post roughly a year ago outlining their mission statement regarding COVID-19 misinformation. So, they added a misinformation report flow and called on mods and the community to report as much as they could. But here's the thing. Reddit has kind of been a safe haven for unpopular opinions, unpopular sentiments
And
for.
illegal things. As much as they don't want to admit it, there is a huge amount of illegal activity that goes through Reddit, just straight up.
So, how do they reconcile that legacy with this kind of a move? I'm not going to say that
Especially
I.
when
Go ahead.
rule one is like really ambiguous, to be clear, but also doesn't really seem as totally okay with this as I am. Rule one doesn't really seem to apply a huge amount here.
I mean, so I'm apparently one of the big reasons for it was that, r/no new normal was brigading other subreddits. So they were kind of spamming and creating a toxic environment in other
Okay.
subreddits. And that is something that is not permitted.
That would go under harassment,
That
probably.
would go,
Harassment
yeah.
and bullying.
So that could very easily be, yeah, harassment, bullying. It would surprise me if none of that brigading contained threats of violence. I mean, that is something that people will frequently just kind of casually throw around
Throw out
on the
there.
internet when they wouldn't in normal conversation. I mean, like, how many times have you heard how many times have you heard this one? What the f did you just f say about me, you little b? I'll have you know I graduated top of my class in the Navy SEALs. I've been involved in numerous secret raids on Al-Qaeda, and I have over 300 confirmed kills. I'm trained in guerrilla warfare, and I'm
Hey.
the top sniper in the entire US Armed Forces. You are nothing to me but just another target. I will wipe you the f out with precision the likes of which you've never seen before on this stuff. Like, that's the kind of thing that people just copy paste for lols because it's funny on the internet, but you would never actually talk to anyone like that. And that's supposed to be why it's funny, but a lot of people sort of didn't catch the joke.
The Al-Qaeda included in there is really starting to date that copy paste.
We need to update. We need to update the copy pasta. Let's find another forever war that the US starts, and then we can make a new copy pasta.
Nice.
So, what does this mean for Reddit? Like, this is misinformation. It shouldn't be spread, but it's not hate speech. So it's not illegal. Like, that's one of the key lines. There's plenty of illegal stuff that actually does
Well,
happen on Reddit, but
they can do whatever they want, right? Like, it doesn't matter if it's illegal or not. If they don't want it to be on the platform, they can remove it. We've talked about this in the past. This isn't a government website. It's a private website. They cited a somewhat weird rule, and they should maybe consider if they do want to stop the spread of general misinformation in the future, they should maybe consider including a rule about that. Enforcing that's going to be incredibly difficult, nigh impossible. But I don't know. Maybe it's just super selective. Not
Gilmore
sure.
D in the float plane chat just
Oh,
sent the greatest chat I think I have ever seen in the history of our
man.
entire live streaming career. Talking about like how people talk to each other on the internet. He goes, "It's amazing how many 12-year-olds have f my mom." It's like, it truly is. Those 12-year-olds, they really get around with the older ladies. You know what I'm saying?
It's really impressive. Yeah, someone should really do something about that.
I mean, that right there is an indisputable threat to these teens' normal study life and physical and mental health. Going around like all these moms. It's
Yeah.
yeah, they, th those moms, they might have been around themselves. You could catch something. You got to be
True.
careful.
Yeah.
So we need to start distributing a lot of condoms to a lot of 12-year-olds. And that's gonna be the way we fight this. I'm sorry, what is this show even about?
Oh, no. Oh my goodness. Anyways, yeah, I mean, ultimately it's a private platform, right? They can do whatever they want. So I don't know. They can cite Rule One. It doesn't matter if Rule One is applicable or not. They could like cite Rule Number 69, and the like text for Rule 69 is just nice. And they could be like, that's why we banned it. It doesn't matter. It's a private platform. They can do whatever they want.
Yep, that's fair. I just
So
think
I don't
that
know.
given
What it
enough
means for
time,
Reddit, I don't know.
yeah, Reddit, I mean, I gotta be honest with you. I never really understood why Digg needed to be replaced by Reddit. From just a very infrequent user's perspective, I never really used Digg, I never really used Reddit, so I'm sorry if I'm not sort of well versed in the sort of the cultural differences between the two websites. From a functionality standpoint, obviously Reddit is way ahead now, but back then I didn't really get it. I didn't really understand why you would post something on Reddit instead of Digg or why you would
I do know at the
consume
time
it.
that that kind of shift happened, there was
Yeah.
a lot of other alternatives as well.
But the point I was trying to make is that another Reddit can clearly come along because the other Reddit already already existed before.
My counterpoint was at that point in time, there was a lot of turmoil in the space, and right now there is none. And I think Reddit has so much market share and so much ubiquity that it would be very difficult to overcome Reddit now. And back then, when Digg was starting and these types of like mass multi-news sites were kind of popping up, there was what's Digg? Oof, yep. There's two G's there, by the way. it was like it was a really big thing. There was tons of different competing websites, and it was a war to see which one was going to win. And a few of them are still sort of around, but Reddit is clearly like absolute massive amounts beyond all the other ones. And I don't think it would be very easy for one to take over now, just because you'd have to win over so many subreddits. It would be crazy. There's so many communities dialed into Reddit. It has become, back in the day, a ton of different creators, not just tech creators, a ton of different creators would spin up their own forums, right? Now people just do Reddits, subreddits.
It's a lot easier.
It is, yeah, for sure. And I think that's something within our space, so I understand it, but I'm sure that same type of activity happens elsewhere. Just like people used to make their own vent servers, now they do Discord, all that kind of stuff. Things are narrowing down into smaller amounts of platforms.
We should totally get like a Mumble server going just for old time's sake.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
I'll get it hosted at the office or something like that, and we can all chat on Mumble. We'll have to do the
Nice.
WAN show. We'll do our call with each other over Mumble. Oh crap, no video. Okay, well, forget it. Well,
Well,
we'll have Mumble
Brett.
running in the background, and we'll both just have it muted. Okay?
Nice.
It'll just be sitting there reassuring us.
Yeah, I still exist. But yeah, I think
Okay.
that's about it on that topic.
Yeah, it's all I really have to say. That's okay though, because we've got even more controversial things to talk about, like this message from our sponsor.
Sponsors? Yeah,
Hey,
yes.
freaking got him!
Thanks to Team Group for sponsoring today's show. To celebrate the back to school season, Team Group is giving you the chance to win some new computer hardware. To help speed up your schoolwork, Team Group is giving away two sticks of their 8 GB T-Force Vulcan C 3200 MHz RAM, a T-Force Vulcan 500 GB SSD, and the Team Group PD400 480 GB portable SSD. The rules are simple. Just head over to the giveaway page, follow their social media pages, and refer friends for extra entries. The giveaway ends September 22nd, so hurry and enter now by using the link in the description or by going to lmg.gg/teamgroupgiveaway. Again, that's lmg.gg/teamgroupgiveaway.
Luke, can I have a 10% discount for how long Floatplane has taken?
There's not a chance. They mentioned if you have your own domain, we're down the sponsor spot, right?
We are, yes.
I wonder. Oh, I don't know. Probably not. I would really love to tell the story of the domain floatplane.com someday, but we probably just shouldn't.
Oh man, it's a heck of a story. Yeah. You know what? Tell the
It's quite a
story.
story.
I want to, yeah, tell the story. Tell the
There's
story. It's
parts that
time.
I don't know if we should go through, though.
I think the people have a right to know. I think the people have a right to know.
Okay, so back in the day, there wasn't a domain. Floatplane started just on the forum. It was genuinely called Rip Vessel. It wasn't called Floatplane for a while. It's just a forum section called Rip Vessel. Nick came up with the name Floatplane. We decided to run with Floatplane, but we couldn't get Floatplane.com. Someone owned it, and we couldn't figure out who. It was being parked. They wouldn't respond to any of our stuff. We tried to seize the domain because it seemed genuinely completely inactive, and the people wouldn't respond to our attempts to purchase. And there's some weird clause where you can kind of do that. It basically never works, but we were genuinely interested in the possibility that it was completely abandoned. So we were kind of probing for that. That way, I feel like I'm forgetting some parts. I have some docs with notes on this that I'd have to bring up, but this was a very long process of us trying to hunt down this domain. During the process of trying to hunt down this domain, we found some names and started trying to follow through with like who these people are.
Yeah.
And ended up in this.
Oh, and part of the reason for that was that if it is impossible to get in touch with the owner of a domain, you can actually file to have that domain like revoked from them. You must be able to contact the owner of a domain. They need valid contact information. You can be like, hey, this has clearly lapsed and no one's actually holding this, so it should just be available again. That is a thing that happens. It's one of the ways that domains can get sniped.
It's pretty uncommon. It is possible. They can absolutely ignore you. It's just that their contact information does need to be valid.
Yeah.
And there were issues with their contact information.
Yes.
So we were trying to pursue that. But we also didn't really actually, genuinely didn't really just want to rip it from someone. Like but their contact information had issues and we wanted the domain. So we were trying to work on it. Ended up finding some names attached to it, but it was like this weird nest of people. It seemed like a group of people owned a very large list of domains and had owned them and had parked them and done nothing with them ever for a very, very large amount of years.
Yep.
Ended up narrowing it down to one person who... Do I go into it?
Do it!
Okay, so they were a Freemason. I found the person who owned it by finding a Freemason website that had, like, ancestry details, and I was able to go through the family lines and find the person who was currently alive who owned the domain. They were in a completely different country. We tried contacting them. We tried sending mail to two of their home addresses because they have houses in different countries. They were ignoring that. We sent mail multiple times. They kept ignoring that. One time, Linus had to go on a trip to film a video.
Yeah, in San Francisco.
So I don't remember whose idea this was. I feel like it might have been mine, but I genuinely don't remember whose idea this was. But we decided, hey, just go knock on the door and see what happens.
Hey, I want to buy your domain.
So he knocks on the door, and I would say kid.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, young man.
Yeah.
Young man.
Young man. Yeah, not. Yeah. I wouldn't. Yeah, kid is not fair. Young man answered the door. I don't think he really realized right away, but it turns out he was a fan. So he knew Linus when Linus knocked on the door. Then there ends up, I don't want to go into too many details here, but the father did not live there.
Yeah. Like,
this
was an ex-spouse situation.
Okay. Yeah.
The ex-spouse was living in the house with the mutual son. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. It's the father that owns the domain though.
Yes.
So we didn't really get all the way there, and that's why the mail was ignored.
Yeah.
Is because they didn't really care because it was the dad.
Yes.
But through the son's connection, we were able to get in contact with the dad.
Yes.
The dad is not low on the totem pole with the Freemasons. Didn't really care about us wanting to buy the domain because didn't really care about our money.
Which we didn't have a lot of.
True. But still... didn't really care. He kind of shot it down, if I remember correctly, before we even really got to the point of talking about funds anyways. What he was potentially interested in was entertaining and potentially career advancing his son.
Yes.
Wait,
hold on a second. A Freemason being about making connections? No, they wouldn't do. They're not into that.
Never.
Okay, I'll let you continue the story anyway. But I really think this is totally far fetched.
There's some flaws here. Yeah. It's been a long time.
No. To be clear, I think you've got the story bang on. I was just teasing you.
So we flew him and his mom.
Yes.
Up to LTX.
Yes.
So
the agreement was that the price was contingent on us entertaining and hosting the son and kind of showing him around and sort of making that connection. And the mom reluctantly agreed to accompany the son because he wasn't allowed to come on his own. And I would never want to speak ill of anyone, but the conversation we had when she discovered that we didn't have Uber in Vancouver was one of the probably the dumbest conversations I've ever had in my life. You don't have Uber? Well, how are we supposed to get there? And I was just like, a taxi, a bus, walk? I don't know. you're a gross woman. Like I'm your life coach now.
So he attends LTX. We do an office tour.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second. That's a sidebar thing. We do an office tour. I think he's kind of enjoying himself. Mom, no. Not even slightly. The trip is pulled early. They yeet the heck out of there. They go back home. Plan not cool. The dad was not stoked about this. Because he didn't really get entirely what he wanted. He wanted more time there and stuff.
Yep. But understood it wasn't our fault.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Was quite understanding about the whole situation.
But still not stoked.
No. Delayed a little bit, but not that long. Like, it was totally fine. I think they were just having conversations on the back end. And then eventually we settled on a price, which was kind of what we were aiming to pay without having done any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. It still wasn't cheap.
It was, was it, 10 grand, I think?
It was 10 grand.
I think we paid, 10 grand. That's actually not bad for a 10-letter.com.
True.
Like, with actual dictionary words. That's,
It's
not bad. Now, in fairness, LTX 18, I guess this would have been.
I think it was 18, yeah.
Was pretty ghetto. Like, it was not, it was not.
A lot more stoked if it was the most recent one. Yeah,
it was not the most amazing expo we ever did. I could understand, you know, the mom being like, there's nothing for me to do here. The mom also could have chilled and like shopped or something, because the son was a young man, not like a small child.
And like, Vancouver's a pretty cool place. And like, we're just a bunch of tech nerds. What are we going to do? And he was genuinely enjoying himself. Like, I got that vibe. I don't know.
Wasn't there a whole thing where, because they flew out early, they like wanted us to pay like the higher price of the return flight? I remember there was some debate around that. And we were kind of sitting here going, well, it's not our fault you didn't take the flight we gave you. Just because you hated LTX doesn't mean you have to leave Vancouver. Like,
That I don't necessarily remember too much. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just, it's been a long time. So chat, I'm like so confused. This was genuinely, what do you think? Like, my brain is telling me like 7 or 8 months.
Oh, it was a long period of time. It was like, definitely
I had a Word doc that is still somewhere. That's, I'm pretty sure, like 5 or 6 pages long. Not trying to like save this story so I'll remember it later. Trying to collect all my notes and stuff so that I could track these things properly and like have website links to things and like all this kind of stuff, so I could figure all of this out. This was actually like a really major project, trying to acquire this domain. And not because it was necessarily expensive, it was because it was genuinely quite difficult to do.
Now that we have it, it's just the name of the platform is not changing.
It's just too much. Is it a great name? Probably not. Is the name changing? No.
Definitely not. Yeah, it's not. All right, why don't we jump into another news topic? Oh, actually, LTTstore.com, the dad hats are live. People have been asking about these because I have been accidentally definitely wearing them on camera a lot. Sorry, Nick, I know that you hate it when I do that, but they're so comfortable and cool. Here they are, LTT dad hats. Your dad's fashion's finally cool. Ha ha. Thank you, Sarah. That's gotta be her line. There they are. So we've got them in all kinds of different styles and colors. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can figure this out. Oh, hold on a second. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Here we go.
Where's the scroll thing isn't working.
It's not working. Luke, help me.
Why?
Okay, hold on. Classic. Okay, component. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's a float plane thing for the team there to figure out. At any rate, one of my favorite ones is wow, there's a lot of pictures. With that scroll not working, that's going to be a challenge and a half.
I wonder if the amount of pictures had something to do with it. This is a very, very large amount of pictures.
Yes, this is
a it might not holy
this is one of my favorites though. That is really a lot of pictures. Okay. Well, at any rate, we have lots of different styles and we have pictures and, oh, wait. Okay. So hold on a second. When you have a classic, okay, it works when that variety is available, Luke. See this?
Oh, so if I go gray, not every embroidery has a color and not every color has an embroidery.
Correct.
So you have to like find. Okay.
So washed black components and RGB are both things. Automagically is only in khaki.
It should probably like something. Have a little like shake. Like flash red shake thing or something to indicate that there isn't something there.
Yeah, or something. Anyway, they're super nice. Go get one. LTTstore.com. All right, what else we got for topics today? Oh, Apple news. The walled garden begins to fall, or the wall around the garden begins to fall. South Korea, this is part one. South Korea passes a law forcing Apple and Google to allow third-party payment processors in the App Store and Play Store.
I wonder who could benefit from this.
I know, right?
In South Korea. I wonder who.
Yeah. LG! Oh, no, just kidding. They closed down their phone division. Samsung!
Sorry, there you go. Yeah.
South Korea's National Assembly has voted to pass an amendment to the country's Telecommunications Business Act forbidding platform holders from forcing developers to use the built-in payment system. Such policies would have prevented Apple and Google from removing Fortnite from the iOS App Store and Google Play Store. President Moon Jae-in is broadly expected to sign the amendment into law soon. Tim Sweeney was obviously happy about this, but then went and made it kind of weird. President Kennedy said at the Berlin Wall in 1963, today all developers around the world can be proud to say, I am Korean. Okay. Yes.
He made it weird.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, to be clear, like, I understand the sentiment. Like, you should be, you know, proud to something the lawmakers in your country sort of understand that this is like kind of antitrust issue. I don't know that this kind of an achievement makes me proud to be like from the country that, you know, did it or whatever. Like, I could see Americans being all like rah 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 man on the moon or whatever, but I don't know that this is like an astronaut on the moon kind of situation. Anyway, in part two of this discussion, Apple lets reader apps include a link to pay outside the App Store in a move to shake off a Japanese investigation.
We talked about last week.
Yeah. So Reader App is Apple's name for apps that simply give the user access to a library of content they have already purchased. So this includes Netflix, Spotify, and Kindle. Currently, these apps avoid Apple's 30% cut. Simply telling users that they can't make an account in the iOS app, but once they're a member, they can start using it. When this new policy is rolled out, reader apps, but not games, because that would be too obvious, can link directly to their website instead of just vaguely alluding to it.
One sec. It says currently these apps avoid Apple's 30% cut by simply telling users they can't make an account in the iOS app. No. you can't tell users.
Oh, actually, you're
obviously
right.
It's yep. changing, but you yes. that's one of the biggest problems we had with it was that as long as we could just tell people like, oh yeah, you have to go to the website to make an account, or you have to go to the website to pay, or something else, like, then that's fine. But you were not allowed to communicate these things. It was really frustrating. They blocked our app. And like some people have tweeted me and be like, no, this is fine. They're fine with this. They have blocked the Floatplane app from going to the store for us doing things like that in the past.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm very happy things are changing.
We're
but
totally
like these
getting
are problems
vindicated.
We have ran into. Yeah.
Japan's Fair Trade Commission says it will close its investigation of Apple, which has been ongoing since 2016, once Apple rolls out the policy. So here's what I want to know. Because realistically, Apple's just going to play whack-a-mole with this country by country until a major player sort of moves. So is the U.S., Apple's home turf, going to just step in and say, hey, you guys need to stop doing this? Do you see it happening?
I don't really. If it happens in the U.S., I see it happening... Not for like in this case, it's their, I could be saying this wrong. President? Is it president? Prime minister? Not sure. Leader. It's their country
Head
leader.
Of state. There.
Sure.
There's
yep.
a generic term.
I
believe it's the
I
president.
I don't see it happening through that avenue in the States. I see it happening through things like the Epic thing that's going on. I see it happening from other companies and eventually becoming standard.
Would you say... precedents rather than presidents?
Oh yeah. I like that. But yes, I think if it happens in the States, it would happen through precedents. But
I don't know. I think I actually lean the other way. I think this is going to happen in the US, and I think that the US has started to finally signal with an FTC that is, you know, actually making public sort of. what they're talking
yeah.
about. I think the US has started to signal that the free ride is over for big tech. They're certainly not moving as aggressively as China
yeah.
against big tech. That's a whole boy, you know, you ever watch those time lapses of like, you know, hospitals being just like conjured in China during the early stages of the coronavirus pandemic? Like
infrastructure projects there are crazy.
Yes.
I don't know.
Things happen real fast in China.
They have shown like, oh yeah, it's been a long time since we destroyed Microsoft. We have teeth still. We've got some teeth, but I haven't really seen a lot of action personally. Going after Blizzard like doesn't count in my opinion. That's some really low hanging fruit.
That's fair.
I don't know. Then I'm not saying they shouldn't have gone after Blizzard. I'm just saying that isn't a sign of like a form of governance that's going to like really, really crack down on their anti-monopoly, blah, 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 blah type of law stuff. That's just
Thanks
going
that.
After a company that
well
has
put.
Some like, yeah, blah, 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 blah stuff. That's pretty good.
In other Apple news, Apple's CSAM, whatever you want to call it, detection system has been delayed. Mm. So last month, Apple announced two controversial features that would scan iPhones locally for child sexual abuse material, or CSAM, before uploading to their iCloud Photos service. It would also alert parents when their children receive or send sexually explicit photos, and it would blur those images. With over 660 million paying subscribers and many more with free iCloud, this would affect many users because Jonathan Horst, our very own Apple correspondent, learned in his iCloud video, iCloud Photos is turned on by default when you set up any Apple mobile device. Today, they announced that they are delaying the rollout of these features. So in a statement to The Verge, Apple said, based on feedback from customers, advocacy groups, researchers, and others, we've decided to take additional time over the coming months to collect input and make improvements before releasing these critically important child safety features. So
well, I hope it
away,
wouldn't affect many
it's
users.
Changing.
It's this is worded in an interesting way because it's saying the whole CSAM thing, right?
Yeah.
In its current, I know the last time we talked about this, we talked a lot about like the creep, like what continues to happen here, who's gonna basically inevitably be able to steal this tool and go through everyone's photos and stuff like that. So like, I'm not talking about that right now. I'm purely talking about its current intention and iteration. and nothing else, not the ramifications, none of that kind of stuff. It's saying this 660 million paying subscribers and more with free iCloud, this would affect many users. Again, hopefully not, because it's just detecting child sexual photos. So hopefully it really doesn't affect very many users. But
I mean, I guess we'll see. Obviously a bigger thing than it should be. And then we would like to think that it is. What I want to know is if basically the only thing that's going to change is the way they're communicating it. Because what it sounded like before was that your photos would kind of be like browsable to an Apple employee. But looking back at it now, it kind of sounds like that is not the case. So a lot of the confusion around this seems to boil down to where the scanning is taking place. So we know now it's happening locally. And man, you know what? Here's what I'm going to call it here. I think Apple is going to change nothing, and they're going to announce, yep, never mind, we are implementing this, and most of the outrage will have died down, and it'll be yesterday's news, and no one will talk about it. I'm calling it. Speaking of yesterday's news, it was actually 2 days ago. A day off Twitch was a thing this week. Want to run us through it?
The hashtag A Day Off Twitch campaign, organized by streamers Raven, Lucia Everblack, and Shiny Pen, took place on September 1st in solidarity against the hate raids that are spreading across the Twitch platform. I just want to say, it's been a while since this was launched, but I'm pretty sure we talked about this on WAN Show, and I'm pretty sure we said exactly this was going to happen when they first set up the tagging system. But let's keep going through this. Harassment on streaming services is sadly nothing new. Creators are now finding themselves targeted with a new kind of attack called a hate raid, in which they are flooded with new viewers and followers, but ones that are simply there to spam their streams with hate.
Yep.
They're definitely a result of this. The hate raids are possibly a result of the platform expanding its tag list to include 350 tags classified by gender, sexual orientation, race, nationality, ability, mental health, and more. It has made it far easier for racist trolls to find and harass creators. I'm pretty sure we talked about this on WAN Show, and I'm pretty sure we said, wow, this is going to make it way easier for people to find the people that they want to
find. Here's the problem is, you know, as a platform, you're called upon to increase visibility of minorities and help amplify their voices.
I'm definitely not saying that you shouldn't, to be very clear.
And that's a good thing. But as Luke and I'm very sure discussed back when these changes were announced,
how
the
it
way
was
that
done
it's implemented.
Tagging. Yeah. Yeah.
I think what's the word, cringe? Is it cringe? Is there a newer word? Yikes. Probably yikes would be a little bit of a fresher.
Yikes. Yeah. I don't know.
Fresher.
This was just the writing was on the wall for this. Someone should have known at Twitch that this was going to happen the second someone suggested this idea. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they couldn't have done it, but they should have known it was coming and been very, very ready.
There's no way to be ready for something like that, though. The thing about live chat is we've been through this ourselves 100 times. Is live chat is basically impossible to moderate on a platform at the same scale that Twitch is. Like, when you have even, let's say it's not 1,000 people, and some of these hate raids were enormous. If you have even 100 people dropping into a stream, the chat gets moving super fast. There's so many of them. Like, you think about how fast this could be moving with each of them, even, you know, typing every 15 seconds or 30 seconds, whatever the default chat settings are. You know, that's good. That's a really awful experience, not just for the streamer, but even for the other people in the chat that don't want to see that and don't want to hear that. And the thing is,
it's also really, really rough for moderators that like are a lot of these channels. And I'm saying this because the vast majority of channels on Twitch are very small. So I'm not targeting this community and saying that their channels are small, to be very clear. But just if you're a channel on Twitch, the likeliness is you're a small channel on Twitch.
Yep.
I'm a small channel on Twitch. The
vast majority have a dozen moderators.
And even then, it's going to be moderators and streamers that haven't dealt with that much activity before. So they're going to be overwhelmed, and it's going to be very difficult for them to act. It's extremely difficult to moderate a live chat, especially with a group of people that is probably used to just kind of hanging out with their friends, having a good time, and not dealing with this type of onslaught.
And there's other problems with it. So if you're offline, it can flag your account, and Twitch can end up auto-banning small users. This was pointed out by Hikage over in the Floatplane chat. And there's some, you know, some people are saying, you know, oh, well, the obvious way to fight this is follower mode only, or even subscriber only chat. But the thing is, again, if you're a small channel, which is who these people are targeting, right? You can't afford to turn off your chat, right? Because you're effectively
follower only chat. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, you're effectively turning it into just a conversation between a handful of people. Like that's really difficult to engage with, because a lot of what's so great about Twitch highlights is the interaction between these huge streamers and their enormous fan bases. You know, they do something and boom, chat explodes, right? You will never have that unless you are an enormous personality on the platform, if you limit who can talk in your chat. So basically, they're forcing you to either just deal with the abuse or remain obscure forever, because you have no chat to interact with, and you can't really get into a rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really rough. And a lot of the verbiage that we've used is people. We've been saying it like a lot of people are coming to raid your stream. In some, I would wager a lot of these situations, most of the people aren't people, they're bots.
I mean, same could be said of just viewers on Twitch. Got them.
Got them. And like if you switch your channel to follower only chat, yeah, 10,000 bots can click follow real easy. It's not going to matter. It's rough. There's a point here that says current hate raiders use one email address to register unlimited accounts. Wouldn't it be simple to limit this and make botting that much harder? I'm going to insert some text here by making it so that you have to have unique email addresses. Yeah, but you can also like bucket create a very large amount of email addresses all in one big swoop. So that is only going to stop very not high-end
attackers.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So there will still be hate raids with that system.
Absolutely.
The whole thing's just they should have found a different solution that wasn't tags.
Pretty much. Yep. You know, to be honest, though, it's tough because I don't actually have a better solution off the top of my head. Truthfully.
If you want to, like, yeah, making it easier to... The path of making it easier so that if you want users to be able to come to Twitch and go, I want to find a creator of this type, and then find them, yeah, that's going to be pretty difficult. But you can still promote those users with more exposure to the front page.
Actually, I have a better solution already. Okay. So yes, you can do what you were doing, but one of the ways that YouTube curates your experience on the platform is they ask you questions about what you're consuming. So when you watch a video, it'll give you like a survey that you can respond to say what you liked about it. I found it really engaging, or I found it funny, or I found this, or I found that. And so, you know, something you could do is, and this would make it a lot easier to filter out bots before they can actually do any damage, is over time, as a user, an actual user, interacts with content, you could ask them questions about the experience that would eventually guide you to an algorithmic predisposition for this user to expose them to these to these kind of
whatever type of creator they're looking for.
Yeah, more niche creators or these particular groups. And it's a longer term fix, but I think it's also a better one.
More elegant.
It's a better one for both the creators and for the people who are looking for them to just sort of naturally be recommended people that you might find a connection with.
It's a difficult thing, but
yeah, but it's with well within Amazon's capabilities. Yes. Like, yeah. To be clear, we're not suggesting a solution that we could build. We don't have the engineering to build something like that, but let's not kid ourselves. Amazon absolutely can. If Amazon can manage to, you know, try to recommend you something to buy before you've ever even heard it, I'm sure they can figure out who you might like to watch on Twitch. So yeah, no, this is not some kind of impossible mountain to climb. It's just a really, really terrible, terrible implementation. And the thing is, like, it's not like I take any pleasure from saying I told you so on this one. This sucks.
No, this does suck.
And, you know, it's just yet another reason for people who were already feeling disenfranchised to feel discriminated against. It's adding insult to injury. For me, one of the biggest modifiers, you know, for how bad I will feel about something is how unnecessary it is. You know, when someone dies because they selflessly sacrifice themselves to save 10,000 other people, you know what I mean? That's really sad, but some good came out of it, right? Like it feels like there was something on the other side of this equation that was like, oh, but this was necessary. This is how it could be justified.
Sadness is also not like essentially the only way to respond. Like you can be very
anger.
Proud of that person.
Yeah.
Like you can, it's a very honorable act. Like you can respect things like, yeah.
But then you look at something like the Sandy Hook massacre and you go, it was just utterly unnecessary, you know? Obviously it'd be hard to come up with any good reason why a small child should die. But I certainly can't think of a worse one than for no reason whatsoever. So, you know, for me, that's the thing that makes this kind of hate so much more offensive is how utterly unnecessary it is. The way that the people doing this are going out of their way. Like it's not, you're walking on opposite sides of the street, right? And there's like, it's a busy street full of cars and you're like, you're dodging in and out of traffic so you can go and bother somebody who's just walking down the street. Take a look at
them. Hang out with their friends, play some video games or do whatever else, and you're just ruining their day. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it sucks. Whole thing sucks.
Yep. In other news, hey, we've got a big event coming up. This is not necessary, but it's a good thing, so it's good. We are doing another game show. This time, it is going to be PC or no PC, loosely inspired by Deal or No Deal. We are looking for two awesome people to be contestants on September 16th in the Langley, Surrey area in British Columbia. But instead of money in the cases, we are going to have tech/server/PC hardware for people to potentially win. You have to be 18 or over, live in BC, Canada, and you must be vaccinated to attend. We will ask for proof of vaccination. If you are interested, you can sign up through the link below, or you can find the link on a tweet that we posted yesterday. I look forward very much to seeing you there, and it is going to be a lot of fun.
Super chats?
Yeah, I think other than that pretty much wraps it. I missed some of the early ones because YouTube still hasn't fixed that bug. See, look, this is as high as I can go. How stupid is that? Anyway, the point is, Red Wolf, I recently bought the last 3080 at my local micro center 3 hours away, only for it to be a lemon, and I've sent it to Gigabyte and got it back with no fix. What should I do? Well, you should RMA it again because, or you should figure out why they don't think it's broken. That is under warranty, so it shouldn't be a problem for you to get it fixed. If Gigabyte won't help you, Microcenter should, especially if it was broken right away, like you say it was a lemon. Lei says, the gaming limit in China is actually part of a larger effort of making educating your kids easier, along with things like banning tutoring schools. The end goal is encouraging people to have more kids. That is a fascinating way to go about achieving that goal. I wish them the best of luck.
But this is kind of what I was talking about on that subject, though, is like there's so much we're ignorant to when it comes to China in general. So any of these policy things, like, yeah, it sounds whack to me. But like, I don't necessarily know. And like, I don't think there is a lot of, I don't know. I like more freedom and autonomy and blah, 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 blah. But like, I don't know what's behind it. I don't know what the reasons are for it. I don't know what the social situations are there that are like. I don't like, there's so many variables that are up in the air.
Yeah. Man, there's any number of reasons that they might be banning these tutoring schools. Nixon says, my brother's in Canada and he's your biggest fan. Hey, sweet. CS says, hey, I'm a big fan. I'm trying to build my first PC, but I live in an apartment with carpet floor. How should I go about building the PC without damaging my parts from ESD? Well, what we learned in our collab with Electroboom is that it's actually really hard to damage your parts with ESD. So there's that. Also, if you watch the first person view build guide, it's this one right here. First person build a PC. This one right here. First person PC build guide, POV. I go through all the steps that you need to protect yourself from zapping your components in that one. Ars Dragonfly says, it's not games that negatively affect mental health. Chinese parents fail miserably at giving their children a meaningful life. What are you even talking about? Why did I even read this chat? That's a really stupid chat. See you later. Zateralius says, I did my master's thesis on video game culture. There are numerous studies all pointing toward positive in video games that dwarf the negatives. Yeah, that's fair enough. You might make the argument that some of the positives we've gained from video games might be unnecessary if we were just all outside interacting with each other more. So if
also, in what amount, right? Because they can still play for an hour a day.
Yeah, which is actually like kind of a fair amount of time for a little kid.
Pretty major amount of time. Yeah.
Kang Yu says, the problem is that in China, giant game companies are promoting games solely on microtransactions that kids would spend their family savings on it. Yeah, that's fair enough.
There's already a limit on how much they can spend.
Yeah, that was already a thing back in 2019. Ran Rui says, yo, Linus, when are you cutting the beard off? I miss my twink Linus. Well, if to transform into twink Linus is the only reason to do it, I don't know if that's a very compelling argument. Josh says, just here to say Australia needs to rebel in the name of freedom. Rebel. Rebel against what? Do you have any idea what the context is for that?
Nope. When you first started talking about that, I was assuming he was going to be talking about internet connections, because I very recently checked how much we pay to get people float plane in Australia, and it made me very sad. So I thought he was talking about that.
Oh, got it. All right. Genius. Okay. Next, man, what is with these super chats today? Oh, Polkar. Okay. Yeah. Kang Yu says it's called a pull card scheme game similar to loot boxes. Okay. So this is elaborating on that. David Billa says, got a really sick email from Nick Light about my LTT store account. Just want to let you guys know you make great stuff and have great service. Thanks. Can't wait for the screwdriver. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Kinestic says, it's an important and well-meaning thing, but the part that always annoys me about a day off Twitch and other social media blackouts is it gets to the day and people are mad because Aussies are streaming because time zones. Yeah, that's a pretty good point. And I guess that's pretty much it for the WAN show today. Raphael says, I bought a sad Linus desk pad. It is Pog. Hey, as long as it doesn't destroy your desk like it did with Quinn. Did you see Snazzy? Okay, it's bad. Okay, so one day. Okay, One day, installs a sad Linus desk pad. Okay. Next day, desk destroyed. Coincidence? I think not. So you just be careful. Okay, that quality, it's heavy.
Sad Linus has evolved into angry Linus.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Bye. Oops.